So, let's get on with the first part of the programme. We'll begin with an overview of the factors involved in self-confidence and good self-esteem. This is called the confidence test model. And these four factors are a straightforward way for you to assess your skills of self-confidence. This will help you think more clearly about aspects of self-confidence and self-esteem and see where to focus on improving your own confidence skills. The test model also acts as a kind of roadmap for the self-confidence trainer so that you can see how the latest sections and exercises fit into the overall picture. Okay, so the T in test stands for tolerating uncertainty. The E for emotional balance, S for skills, and the last T for thinking styles. All these elements interplay and can all be influenced with the right skills. And even if your background leads you to think that low self-esteem or poor self-confidence is a result of what has happened to you in the past, the same still applies. Now, we'll take each element of the test model in turn, starting with tolerating uncertainty and how good you are at it. From our experience of working with people, it has become clear that there is one common mistake people make when approaching something new, challenging, or uncertain. This natural mistake is to assume that self-confidence is feeling sure you will succeed before you've actually attempted something. And so what happens when you don't get that feeling of surety? Your anxiety levels go up, and you feel even more underconfident. And simplistic positive thinking approaches can make this problem worse. Yet if we look at this idea for a moment, it's clear that it doesn't hold water. If you've never done something before, how can you expect to be sure of the outcome? You can't. But if confidence is not about knowing that you'll do well, what is it about? And this is where the first T of test comes in. Confidence is about tolerating uncertainty and the unpleasant feelings it can create. There is nothing more unsettling for human beings than uncertainty. We'll do almost anything to get rid of it. If you want proof of that, you just need to look at the popularity of astrology and fortune-telling. In fact, any situation in which there are unpredictable factors that can affect the outcome is uncertain. If you focus on these and try and reassure yourself that everything will definitely be okay, then you're in for a tough job. After all, it's just not realistic. You can't be sure it will always be okay. So, if we can't be sure everything's okay, and we can't control unpredictable elements such as other people, what can we do about uncertainty? Well, what you can do is first take practical steps to minimise the uncertainty, such as preparing for an interview or relaxing before a presentation. That's the obvious first step. Second, you can minimise the uncertainty about your own emotional reactions because you can gain more control over these. This is why we'll be looking at relaxation and mental rehearsal techniques later on. And thirdly, once you have done the first two, you can put things in perspective, remind yourself that attempting is the most important part, and take the long-term view. It's very rarely now or never, and you can allow for the possibility that you might just surprise yourself. So that's the T of test, and later you'll see how other exercises help you tolerate uncertainty more comfortably. Now on to E for emotional balance. Emotional balance is such an important aspect of life that it could take up a whole program in itself, but for our purposes we can simplify things a little. First of all, let's look at an extremely important fact. If you're very emotional, anxious, angry, depressed, for example, then it's very difficult to form realistic views on things. This means that if you find yourself thinking of a challenging situation when you feel tired or down, you may well feel disempowered, helpless, or pessimistic about the likely outcome. The important thing here is to realise that your perceptions at this time are biased and don't represent what's likely to happen. Of course, this is true at any time. No one can predict the future. But this is even more the case when you're highly emotional. When thinking about self-confidence and self-esteem, we must focus on what is useful rather than what we think may be true. It's a fact that if you imagine being nervous and performing badly in a situation, it's more likely to happen, so it's essential that you learn what to do instead. This is a key emotional skill, and one I mentioned in the section on tolerating uncertainty. When you learn to gain more control over your emotional state, you lower the levels of uncertainty. If you know that you can relax yourself quickly, regardless of the situation, you'll feel much more confident about taking on new challenges. Later in the program, you'll learn a technique for relaxing quickly in stressful situations, and the relaxation sessions will teach you more about your body's ability to relax. Okay, next in the test model comes S for skills. This means any practical skills that are relevant to your situation. For example, social skills, presentation skills, communication skills. Relevant skills are, of course, a major part of self-confidence and self-esteem. After all, no one would expect to feel confident about an interview, say, if you had not reviewed your CV and done a bit of background research about the company. Of course, in an interview, another practical skill is the ability to stay relaxed enough to give your best performance, the emotional skill from the previous section. And in addition, learning these skills will improve your self-esteem as you can give yourself credit for having made the effort. But only if you have the skills from the second T of test, that is, thinking styles. Now it's interesting to note that often people with plenty of good experiences or achievements still have difficulty feeling good about themselves or feeling confident. This is down to thinking styles and the ability to do what I call converting. I had an email from a young woman recently who said, "Whenever I think about my high school graduation, I feel sad because I know I'll never have times like that again." I was amazed. I'd finally met my first fortune teller. She could obviously see into the future. But joking aside, this shows perfectly just how important it is that you know about and use a good thinking style. In this example, why not think, "Well, I managed to put in that sustained effort and made friends whilst I did it. I'm obviously a capable person. I wonder what wonderful things that will enable me to do in the future." Just as realistic, if not more so, and much, much more uplifting, motivating, and energizing. Let's take the interview example from the skills section. If I've learnt interview skills, but then go away and say to myself, "Oh, I'll probably forget them all in the day. My nerves will get the better of me and ruin everything anyway." Or, "Everyone knows these. Why did it take me so long to get round to it?" Then what's happened? I have failed to convert my efforts into improved confidence and self-esteem. What's more, my anxiety levels will increase, so I'll be less able to prepare well because my memory will be affected, and I may make less effort because I think there's no point anyway. Conversely, if I think, "Well, that's good. At least I know what I'm supposed to do now." Or, "These are common skills that a lot of people know, but a lot of people don't know them too, so I'll have more of an advantage." Then I feel very different. My confidence levels will increase, which will motivate me to learn more, to approach the interview with excitement instead of fear, and to have higher expectations of myself. I've converted the effort I put into learning the skills. I've increased my self-esteem because I've taken credit for what I've learned and improved my chances generally of putting on a good performance. Now, I want to stress that this is not about positive thinking. It's about having a balanced and, most of all, useful thought process. And we'll be looking at this in the Thinking Confidently section later in the programme.